To be in the house of the Lord this morning.
Yes,
praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This is the Father's house.
It's the Father's house.
This is not the hog pen. Praise the Lord. And we know the difference.
Yes, thank you.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank God we do know the difference.
Yes,
praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, this day for your goodness to us. We thank you, God, for this assembly here this morning. We pray that you'll open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your word this morning. Give us the spirit of wisdom and not of fear. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority to believe it, that we may be able to operate the ministries that you've given us in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Tomorrow night, we plan on giving away on a drawing for the Rick Renner book tomorrow night. But you have to be here to win.
Yeah.
And about that, we plan on being here, but we got to keep an eye on the weather. They're predicting possibility of severe weather tomorrow night. So I know what it happens every Monday. I know what it was bad, and it's supposed to be. They're saying it's going to be that way again, but that's all based on a low pressure system that hasn't even formed yet. It's all a computer prediction. It's a computer model, and so
it's
we ain't even seen it yet. We ain't even seen it yet.
If it's just raining, we'll meet, right?
But
if it's severe weather.
Here about 3 days ago.
That's right. We got to wait and see. We'll keep an eye on the weather, and we'll put something on Facebook if early as we can
now,
if we're not going to have it.
Y'all let that on Facebook, but y'all call me because.
Yeah.
You don't do Facebook?
No, I don't do Facebook.
Okay.
We got to get you looked up, child.
We'll have to call Sister Mary.
We call you. One of us will call you. We'll let you know.
Yeah.
That's true.
I don't know if we have anybody else that's not on Facebook. I don't think. Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll
everybody
let you know.
Else do Facebook.
We've got to just kind of keep an eye on the weather.
Do you get messages on your phone, Mary? Do you get the messages? Do you get
text? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because sometimes we send out text messages, too, to groups. Mm-hmm. So we'll get with you.
Okay, you'll let me know.
Yeah.
Okay.
We want to do it because we're planning on this being the last one before
the holidays.
When would you start back up?
After the first Monday after New Year's.
Okay.
Whatever Monday that is, be the first Monday after New Year's. So we wanted to have a time of fellowship, and we're going to have. We're going to have food of some sort.
Yeah.
And going to have fun, praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's going to be fun.
Well, we always do.
We always have fun. Always have a good time. All right, praise the Lord. Let's go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 18. We had just gotten Paul out of Athens Got him away from all those philosophers. And now he goes to Corinth, one of the greatest of all the churches. Praise the Lord.
Let me ask, is anybody cold? Do I need to turn it up some?
You don't need to turn it up for me.
Oh,
because I mean,
okay.
I'll be fine.
All right. 18:1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. Because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Now we see again on in the same chapter in verse 24, this brings in Priscilla and Aquila again, since we mentioned them already. Let's jump over to chapter to verse 24 of that chapter, same chapter. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, we're in Ephesus now, but we'll go back to Corinth in a minute. A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come helped them much through much which had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews in that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Now, you know, these are two of my favorite Bible characters, Priscilla and Aquila, two of my favorite Bible characters. We need churches full of these people.
Yes, we do.
We need churches full of Priscillas and Aquilas.
Yes, we do.
They were undoubtedly teachers. And you know, we've got the idea sometimes that if you're called teacher, as soon as God calls you to teach, he also calls you to leave your local church and go rambling around the country. Just roaming around, preaching and speaking here and there and everywhere else. As soon as you're called to teach, you leave your local church and take off. So you never do your local church a lick of good. So all the people who are in a local church, there are no teachers in the local churches. Because as soon as you're called to teach, you're called to run off and go rambling around the country, teaching everywhere else besides your local church. I always thought this is a silly idea, that God really does expect teachers to stay put. He does expect you to, if he calls you to teach, most of the time he expects you to stay put and teach. Stay and teach in your local church. Do like Priscilla and Aquila. Teach in your local church. Local churches need teachers as bad or more than they need anything else.
Yes, they do.
They desperately need Priscillas and Aquilas. Desperately. And if that's the way it worked, you know, if I was a pastor, I'd be praying, Lord, don't call any of my folks. Leave my people alone. Don't call any of my people. Yeah, because I don't want to lose any of my people. I need people. I need teachers. Oh, Lord, don't call any of my people. Now, that's just not the way it works. I don't believe that's the way it works. I believe God wants teachers. He wants prophets in the local church. He wants teachers in the local church. We had a whole bunch of them in the church in Antioch.
Yeah.
There was five of them listed as teachers and prophets. And you need local churches to be strong. They need God-called teachers and prophets in there. And you know, we've gotten this idea. This is a man thing. This is a man idea that you know, if you're called, you need to run off somewhere. Leave your local church and go do your own thing out there. I don't believe in that. I don't think it's biblical. But anyway, so Priscilla and Aquila are two of my favorite Bible characters. I love these two. They were there in the church, blessing the church. They were blessing the local church. Praise the Lord. They were dependable. They were doing good in the local church. All right, let's go back over to, let's get them back in Corinth now. And because, yeah, so they were making tents. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spoke the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall sit on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. Now there's an example of separation of church and state right there. There you go. Comes out of the Bible. Separation of church and state. Gallio didn't want anything to do with spiritual matters. If it was just matters of doctrine and faith, he didn't want anything to do with it. And that is exactly the way that things ought to be in this country. The state ought to have nothing to do with matters of faith and doctrine. That's what separation of church and state is. The state doesn't need to inquire into such matters. That needs to be left to the churches to take care of that. And he drove them from the judgment seat. I love that. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. I like that. He didn't care for any of that. Didn't concern him at all. And Paul after this tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence unto Syria. With him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Centuria, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry a longer time with them, he consented not. So Paul goes to Ephesus, and he goes immediately to the synagogue, which he always does, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. So he goes to the synagogue and begins to reason with them out of the scriptures. They desired him to tarry longer, but he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. I'm not sure whether this is his home church of Antioch or whether this is Antioch in Asia Minor, for sure, it's hard to tell. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of the Lord more perfectly, which we read a little bit ago. Now, chapter 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. All right, so Paul comes, he left Ephesus and went around different places, and then he came back to Ephesus. Now he's come back to Ephesus, and he finds a Baptist church. Amen. Finds a Baptist church. And he said unto them, he found certain disciples, Baptists. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost.
But he baptized on the Baptist day.
So he said unto them, what were you baptized then? And they said unto John's baptism. Then Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that you should believe on him, that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. So Paul turns this Baptist church Pentecostal.
Full gospel.
Now this is remarkable, because Paul was there, and Joanne and I have discussed this over and over. And Paul was there. He preached at Ephesus, and let's see. It doesn't say that anybody got saved, but it says they desired that he stay longer with them, but he said no. So he preaches at Ephesus, don't know for sure how long. But then he comes, but Priscilla and Aquila are there. And Apollos comes there. And they have this discussion with Apollos. Where do these Baptists come from? Did nobody teach about the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I mean, how does this happen? Where did they come from?
I just think they were just in an area where they just didn't hear.
Of course, you've got to remember.
I just think they must have been on the outskirts of town.
Where do they find these people?
They may be
some hillbillies or something. I don't know. They didn't know where to. But
about that is, don't you think that right there would have been such a tremendous newsworthy thing that everybody around
the Holy Ghost?
Well,
let me tell you something. I met a lady one time.
Like crazy.
Well, I worked with a girl years ago in South Dakota, which was a strange thing to me. She was married. She was probably in her early 20s. But I can remember at a lunchtime we were talking, and she had never heard of the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. It just kind of blew my mind.
Yeah, but she wasn't Pentecostal.
No, she was probably.
Well, presumably Paul, you know, we know Paul was Pentecostal.
Right.
And so we presume that, you know, when he preached a Pentecostal message. One would assume so.
I think so. But everybody in Birmingham doesn't hear the word faith message.
Well,
people, they say they don't even know.
We got to remember. These people were saved. These people were saved, but they hadn't heard anything about the Holy Ghost. So, but anyway,
they weren't very sociable. Maybe they didn't go around.
Ephesus was probably a city of. I don't know, probably 100,000 people anyway. There was a lot of people in Ephesus. It was a big city. So, I mean, you know, it's entirely possible that, like Joanne says, you know, at the dawn of the grace dispensation, and when they first began to preach the gospel, you know, I mean, we can understand that sometimes the full gospel message was not always clear to everybody. I mean, you know, I mean, you heard something, but it is a puzzle to me. It's a puzzle how that Paul goes there, and a Priscilla and Aquila are there, and yet when Paul comes back there, you've got a whole bunch of folks there that don't know anything about the full gospel message.
Still haven't heard about the Holy Ghost.
They're saved, but they don't know about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This is strange to me, and it's a puzzle to me, but it happened. Okay, it happened, and it's biblical. I don't know how it happened, but there was 12 of them. But by the time Paul got through with them, they were Pentecostal.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Yeah,
so
that is a little strange, but it happened.
It did happen. I don't know how it happened.
Somebody preached it and they didn't really hear it.
You know, yeah, that's true. And you know, and Apollos apparently wasn't preaching a Pentecostal message.
Oh no. They had to educate.
That's true. That's one thing that Apollos was doing.
They were mighty in the street.
Yeah. But Apollos was apparently preaching a Baptist message. And he had to be instructed more perfectly in the way of the Lord. And so Apollos, these were maybe some of Apollos' converts before Apollos got really, you know, deeper into the Lord. One could assume that was true, that these were Apollos's, and there were people in those days. Some said, "I'm of Apollos," and some said, "I'm of Paul." And various ones, you know. So yeah, these could have very well been some of Apollos' converts before Apollos became Pentecostal. So, but anyway, this was the early days. This was the early days when the message was, you know, just getting out. But anyway, praise the Lord. It had a great and happy ending. So that's good. And all the men were about 12. It says that the Holy Ghost came on them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied.
Boy.
Amen.
They made up for lost time.
And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading things concerning the kingdom of God. So he was there for 3 months. And then he was there for 2 more years. It says, but when divers were hardened and believed not, but spoke evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus, and this continued by the space of 2 years. So Paul was in Ephesus for at least 2 years and 3 months. So that all they which dwell in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out from them. So this was at Ephesus where this first happened, where God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, where they took cloths from his body, and these cloths were instrumental in healing people and casting out devils. So this was at Ephesus. Ephesus was a great place, and of course we hear about Ephesus some more in the book of Revelation. So when we were studying the book of Revelation, we wanted to go back to Acts, to the book of Acts, in these two chapters to think about, you know, Ephesus, how it got its start. And if any church got a good start and got off to a good start, it would have been Ephesus. They really got a good start by none other than the Apostle Paul. Stayed there, lived there for two years and 3 months at least. Timothy pastored there. Priscilla and Aquila went to church there. This was a great church. This was a good church, great place to be. Praise the Lord. All right, God bless you.